You might like to open your Bible to Genesis and chapter 3. Genesis and chapter 3. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy love letter and here we are. So help us to have the understanding that helps us to be able to honor you the more and follow you the better. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We were triggered by John chapter 16, and the disciples were very, very, very sorrowful because they saw their whole thing, whole life coming to an end. Christ is going to be crucified. We shared that this morning. And then we shared in the light of Independence Day our declaration that we hold these truths to be self-evident, etc. Among these, and here named three of them, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so here they were, when they did the declaration, they were in war. It was very difficult. And here we are. So we aren't in a time of very volatile, it's very volatile, very moving, to say the least, change. So God did encourage, ultimately, the disciples in the upper room. The Independence Day, they won the war in this case. And they were able to have a measure of pursuit for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness is what we share together because God is not only holy, he's happy. We shared that this morning. God is one happy camper. And the word happy, Old Testament, has to do with the word straight. Straight as an arrow. To go forward straight. Down the, and not to turn left or right. And when you go straight, you hit whatever you're after, you're hitting, thus the word successful, prosperity, happy translates. Happy. Happy is the word. That's how you write it. Blessed, happy. The pursuit of happiness. And we looked at that a little bit to see how God has helped the believing heart to exercise and come to grips with that God is happy and he wants his people to be happy, to be able to go straight, to be successful, underline, happy. To be happy, that's what he wants. So everyone's sad and all kinds of words. But God is looking for that. And so, in saying the pursuit of happiness, so happiness is what? Is the pursuit. Happiness is God. And in the declaration, the pursuit, having these sensations, the wonderful, wonderful enjoyment of good, to enjoy good, the pursuit of happiness, to enjoy good. How do we enjoy good? God is good. God. To enjoy God, who is what? Happy. So, having said that, the enjoyment of God, the enjoyment of good. God enjoys being good. God enjoys being happy, holy, etc. Now, so therefore, take a little look, if we can. We looked at happy and blessed in the old and new. So now here, just tying it afresh, our mind, here's Genesis chapter 3. And Adam and Eve, remember, sinned, and the issue, what was the issue? What happened to happiness? Genesis chapter 3, and in verse 5, the devil, God doth know to Eve that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods. Remember, there are no gods then. That's the word Elohim, God. But I understand what they're saying, and that's why they translate it that way. You shall know, you shall be as God. In other words, you can't be God, so you have to be like God. That's what the devil wants to be. And the next four words, knowing good and evil. They had no idea about evil. Evil is the absence of good. It's the absence of God. Mark chapter 7, etc., 18 following, is what? The old nature, every human being, our old nature, among other things, when it's all done, 18, read each thing, is evil. It's the absence of God, the absence of good, the absence of the heart without God. Evil, hang on to that. Now, having said that little bit, and therefore, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, why? To make one wise. So we want to know, why did you do it? Because I wanted to be wise like God. I wanted to know like God. I wanted to be. But you understand, you aren't God. You're God's creation. Verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew what? What did Adam and Eve know? That they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron to try to cover up their new condition. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the light of that, over, if you can, in your Bible, over to Deuteronomy. And to get quickly into where we're going, hopefully, Deuteronomy and chapter 1. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, picking up the thought, go to verse 25. 1 and 25 in the light of the context. They went and searched the land out, etc. 25. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is a good, there's your little word, good. It's a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. In other words, God wants them to go from Egypt for the wilderness. God doesn't want them in the wilderness. God doesn't want us in the middle of nowhere. He wants us where? In the good land. Happy. That's what he wants. What's our Father want? Happy. That's what he wants. We want to know what it is. That's what he wants. Now, and what's our need to be successful, to be straight, to be happy? Now, having said that, sliding over, remember they didn't believe, verse 35. Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation, see that good land, they are never going to get there, which I swear to give unto your fathers. They aren't going to get there. They're never going to know it. And all 600,000 of them died in the wilderness. He said they're never going to see it. They never got there. Chapter 30. And in chapter 30, picking up, please, in verse 9. And you will note, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thy hand. Remember, they're going to cross the Jordan shortly. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the land. Why are you going to do it? For good. I want you to be successful. I want you to be in a good land where I, the Father, will take care of you. What do I want? I want you to have good. That's what I want. Not bad, good. And therefore, verse 9, for good. For the Lord, middle of the verse, for the Lord will again rejoice over thee for what? For good. Is that God? You want good. That's what I want. Well, what's God want for my life? Good. Good. When's the last time you thought about that? Good. That's what God wants. Successful. How we're looking at that. I've got to get there, I hope. Now, having said that, and verse 15. God, they're going to cross the land. He admonishes them. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. You're either going to believe me and enjoy the good land, or you're not going to believe me, and the land is going to kick you out of it into the Assyrian, Babylonian captivity, etc. Verse 19, I will call heaven and earth to record this day, and the little word, you'll keep reading it at the end of Deuteronomy, against. It's not for them. They're negative. They're negative, and God is banging home the point. You aren't where you should be. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed shall live. Notice in verse 15, you have life and good. Down in verse 19, you have life and blessing. Blessing, good, blessing, blessing, blessing. We shared that this morning. Happy, happy, good, good and happy, blessing. Now, so sliding over, if I can, over to go over to all the way to Malachi. Now, I want to know how history went. So Malachi is going to be the last record, 400 years before God comes again in John the Baptist. So Malachi, God gives us a clue. Now, how does it come out? How does it come out? Well, Malachi in chapter 3, and would you please note in verse 12, all nations shall call you blessed. That's the word, blessed word we're looking at, blessed. Shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful, blessed, happy, as it were. For you shall be a delightsome land, be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. It's to be a wonderful thing. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee, God? They spoke against God. So, verse 14, you have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? In other words, it didn't pay. I went to church. I read the Bible. I read the daily bread, or whatever you're doing, people do. I did everything. My life's the same. My work's the same. I have to take the same pills. Everything's the same. What's the sense? What's the sense, God? And then that guy up front keeps telling me to trust God and look to God. Wow. What's the sense? That's what they said. So, now watch. Verse 15. And now, how are you going to handle it? How did they handle it? Now we call the proud what? Happy. That's the word blessed that you've been looking at this morning. Happy. Sad? No. Happy. We're going to turn it upside down. It's the only way we're going to get this. We're evil. There's no success. There's no hope. There's nothing going to work ever. Try communism, socialism, Marxism, humanism, wherever you want to go, materialism, What do you want to do? Where's God? There's none. Where's hope? You can be religious up to here, whatever Mormons or whatever you want. And there's no way that you and your brain can see out that you're ever going to become a god, Mormons, having your own planet. What do you think of that? I'm going to convince you all you're going to be like God and have your own planet. And everyone charges forward to give me $7 zillion to be able to have the benefits. True. Now, what stoop would believe that? I shouldn't say that, dear Mormons. Nothing against you. It's just awful stupid. But they believe it. They believe it. There is no hope out there. You can go to church and everything. There's none. There isn't there. I'm being realistic. I'm objective, I hope. I look at life as it really is. It isn't like that. There's no hope in that. Now, therefore, verse 15, and now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God, put God to the test, are even delivered. In other words, everything works out good without God. So we don't need to look to God. Now that's how good ends. And you remember now, over to chapter 2, and put the two together. Is there going to be any good? No, we turn it all upside down. What are we going to do? Verse 17, as you, we have wearied the Lord with your words. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied that? Wherein have we wearied him? When we say, everyone that doeth evil is good. See, we got both happy and good. They destroyed happy and turned it upside down, and they took good and turned it upside down. And therefore, that's why you're familiar in Isaiah 5 and 20. Woe unto you, because you call evil what? Good and good evil. You call light and darkness, bitter and sweet. You turn them all upside down. That's the only way we're going to get it. That's the only way we can live, is turn it all upside down. So it isn't that it isn't there. It's just we turn it upside down. That's all. So the world says there isn't any baloney. All we did is turn it upside down in history so we could live with it. We can't live with it. If we do it right, we got to look to God and find real happiness. So now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, over to Romans. So that's how it ends. Eat happy, down, good, down. Pursuit of happiness that they aren't interested in. So how are we going to practice the declaration, second paragraph, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Who's pursuing happiness? Who's pursuing liberty? Everyone's got it, but do you understand what freedom and liberty is? And we're giving it all up. It's being taken away without any question. That's the whole objective, to leave us bankrupt. That's the only way you can control people. Take everything away, their history away, everything away. Now, so therefore, over to Romans and chapter 1. Yeah, we can do it either way. Over to Romans chapter chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Remember, Romans is all about the righteousness of God. When you're reading, it's the treatise on righteousness. How do we ever get righteousness in our wrongness? God has made it possible by his death, burial, and resurrection. So when you come to Romans chapter 3 and the great unfolding of our we're all guilty, chapter 3, verse 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. Verse 12. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Where's the good? There isn't any good. We turned it all upside down. Turned it upside down so we could live with it. Now, what was the loss? When the people turned things upside down that should be right side up, what on earth is the cost? Romans chapter 2. And in Romans chapter 2, going directly, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his, there's your little word, goodness, and forbearance, his delay, and long suffering, long before being angry, not knowing that the goodness, there it is again, of God, God's happiness, God wants you happy, leadeth thee to repentance. If God didn't want it, he would never pursue it for us. And God offers the good news, the gospel, to be able to what? To have and pursue happiness. Why do they put it in the Declaration? So you can pursue it in this country. That's why the Declaration is out the window, pretty, basically. I hope it isn't, but it is. I wish it wasn't. Why? It's irrelevant. Who's pursuing evil? Who's pursuing happiness, I should say? No one would pursue it. They don't even understand it. Go talk to somebody when you go out to, down the street or something and ask them what that means, pursuit of happiness. It doesn't mean anything. Liberty, that doesn't mean a lot. Life, well, what is life? Lifestyle, but not life. A lifestyle we all have because that's how we eat, drink, come and go. That's our life, isn't it? If you're going to describe your life, it's what you eat and drink and come and go and have and don't have and try to have. That's our life. It has nothing to do with what's in here, in your heart. That's your life. The heart beating is your life, physical. But we don't even think of that. We just assume it. Now, having said that, God's goodness. While you're here in Romans, slide over back over to chapter 1. Remember we shared what they knew, Adam and Eve knew, and sin loused everything up, turned it upside down. So Romans in chapter 1, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, inside their head and heart. For the reason it is known, for God has showed it unto them. And that's why you can never say a person has never been told. There's no person born on planet Earth that God hasn't said, I'm your creator and I want to save you. He didn't say it that simply. You're God. The little kids, that's why little children know God. And we say these things a thousand times. They know a totem pole isn't God. They know all that isn't God. That isn't God. People aren't God. Things they do aren't God. They know that. And then they just follow the adult world and become absorbed and forget all that. They knew it. Now, but they knew, verse 19, no, manifest. Sliding down verse 21, that because that when they knew God, when they knew, not they didn't know, when they did know, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want to know. Don't you want to know? No, I don't really want to know. I don't really want to understand. And as even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That means it isn't going to approve at all. It will never approve what God is saying. It rejects it. A reprobate mind. To do those things which are not convenient or fitting. And do all kinds of stupid things. That's what we'd rather do. We don't want to have to think about it. Sliding in verse 32. who knowing, there's your word, the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They do the same thing. No, God, we know good, we reject it. We know. It isn't a question people don't know. They do know. That's why in Jeremiah and that, God said, why don't you line up where I'm coming from? But poor people don't know, and I got to help them. God said, if you just know where they really were, you would stand more with me and less with them. That's what we're looking at. I got to get there. So I'm on God's side. I understand. So don't say, that's my daughter. That's my son. That's my, maybe. They're only part of the 7 billion or so, 7.8, whatever I have that, people, population. They're just part of it. Aren't we? If you line us all up, big line, big circle, aren't we all the same? But who cares whether you're a president, whether you're a pauper, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're big or small, rich, girl, male, or no one. They're all the same, humans, even though they're yours. And you're one of them. You're one of them, right? You're one of the rascals out there that make up the world system. Wow. Now, hang on. So therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful working, God does what he does in a most, most wonderful way. Now, in the light of that, we're looking at God, and God wants to go and help, but our world is not going where it has to go. God has a plan, tribulation and all that. So here we are going. And as we're going, the environment in which we live today, globally and nationally, is connected. Everything is connected to everything. How's that? It is. Everything is connected to everything. When you buy a bottle of ketchup, it's in the best, how many ketchup bottles, where they come from, who bought it? It's all over the place. You're connected. Everything's connected. Electronically, all Facebook, your websites, and all of these different things, whatever you use, you're connected electronically. You don't have any choice. You say, I'm secret. I'm the only one secret because I don't have any of those things. You see, I just have you guys. That's all. We're all connected. That's something, isn't it? Global. Hang on to that part. We're all connected. Everything's connected. That's why someone sitting in India or the Philippines or somewhere else can sit with the right kind of computer and manage the shop down the street. Can push the right buttons and sell and bankrupt them. That's why the hacking, remember they went years, a few months, I don't think it's a year, but a little while ago down in Texas, they found out that where the big building was housing all the systems. And the Chinese have been using it for a long time. They know every system, the military system, political system, every system. They've been using it, sitting, attacking it. And then they said, well, you aren't supposed to do that. Well, they'd have it. What'd they do? Nothing. They know everything. That's what they know. So God, it's all there. And here we are, God, trying to get down the corridor of time. And so with all of this global activity and everything, and to what measure are we conscious of it? That's the issue now. What measure are we conscious of this global activity? Well, we could say here's Canada, France, other countries, in the Great Reset, a whole new political, social system in the works, communism ultimately. It's in the works. It's their policy. It's our policy up in Washington. It's what they want. So now Great Reset, but we're sitting here. And the Great Reset, you could read about it, and yeah, it's there. A Great Reset, And then you can go to the all the different things we have that are there. Now, one of the things that I got to get a handle on, I'm sitting here calmly and everything, and I don't have, so I want to get you to see something or think about it for a second. In the process, you're sitting still, right? Comfortable. That. All the while, you know what? We're traveling at 1,040 miles per hour. Right now, we're spinning. None of you feel it? Actually, that's what's happening right now. But you don't, if it didn't happen, you're in trouble. Do you understand it's happening? But you don't feel it, do you? And to boot, if you want to go and have the orbit of the Earth around the sun, orbit like that, what have we got? Here we are. Here we are over here in the summer down here, spinning around at 66,000 miles per hour. 66,000 miles per hour. Do you feel that? It's one thing to be in a car at 100 miles an hour. We're on Earth at 66,000 miles an hour. That's what we're moving. Wow. Okay. Now, but you don't feel it. But boy, is it there. I don't feel the Great Reset. I don't feel all this. And I get all the diversions, all the things to think about. There's the global warming and the green and the virus and the educational corruption that's going on in our system, and all of that, and great borders that are open borders. We're all caught up in a few things out there, more or less, but we really can't do a lot about any of them. That's where they are. Now, they're all exercised in this great system that we're in. And this system that we're in is an awesome system. And in the process, as it takes place, and all of these things are happening, over if I can, I'll do it another way to help you understand the speed. The speed. Why do you need to see that? Because the electronic world connects everything to everything. You understand? If you control and have access how to handle and use the electronic world, you have power and control, don't you? Awesome power, if you know how to play the game. Now, so, most people aren't doing that. They just have their computer or whatever they have, smartphone or whatever it is, and you have all of those things, and you use them without ever thinking that someone else is using them. Someone else is exercising something bigger and more than what we have and what we understand. Now, so it's happening fast, but we don't understand that, the speed. We don't, it's exponentially. Think of 10 to the 10th power, 10, a number, and then you put exponent, 10. Now, just to show you speed and the awesomeness of where we are, 20 years ago, we didn't have this speed. But boy, do we have it now compared to 20 years ago. Now, so, if you take a piece of paper, and I did this, you can do it at your leisure when you want something to do, and I took a piece of paper and I gave it a width, a thickness of 1/32nd. So that means that 32 of pieces would equal an inch. Okay, and I did that. Now, and then the illustration, if you fold that piece of paper exponentially 40 times, 10 times 40, the 40, do you know what you have? When you do that, where does it go? It goes past the moon. Do you understand? It goes past the moon. 32 and the big number, Everything doubles. You say doubles. As two pieces of paper, you can fold them. That's one thing. But you pretty soon, you're way over the ceiling. You see? And you haven't even got started yet. And then you divide by 12 to get feet, and then divide by 5,280 to get miles. It comes out to 500,000 miles or something. The moon is only 235,000. Moon. The paper would be past the moon. Do you understand? It's hard to believe, isn't it? But it is. It is. Awesome. Exponential. Exponential. Fast. It's faster than, so what have we got? We've got speed electronically. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of information all put together for whatever purpose they're doing it for. Thousands and thousands and thousands. Fast, fast, fast. And they're growing fast, like that pile. It just keeps doubling. The double what you have on the website, and double it again, and double it again, and you're way up here. You keep doubling it, and it's huge. We can't even keep up with it. It's very, very, very fast. Fast. Beyond, like the doubling. We can't even understand it. It's too fast. And to boot, we've got more and more and more and more stuff, because all of it is producing more and more. So you don't have one little thing to think about. You got 35 things to think about. And we get more. Then you got 65 things to think about. And it keeps growing. So you got more and more, faster and faster. And then you're going to add to that our human nature. And all of this wonderful, wonderful electronic world is run by what? Humans. And humans all have evil for good and light for darkness and bitter for sweet. And that's why everything we do, medically and otherwise, is faulty. And everything we improve and do a wonderful thing, hang on, because humans are using it. And pretty soon, it's going to be corrupt, going to be misused, going to be misused. All wonderful things, misused, and used for the wrong. That's what's happening. Now, and to do that, another way, I'm going to give you another illustration that I like these things. This is from Dr. Charles Swenson. Dr. Charles Swenson, a medical doctor teaching in the medical school. I think it was up in Wisconsin. And he wrote down, I got a copy. He wrote down what he teaches the new residents coming into the class to the hospital. He teaches them, right? This is what he has a class for the new doctors training. He teaches them. And so I thought it's wonderful. Now, so therefore, I'll read it in the light of it, his medical. Quote, no physician, understands the human body. No doctor understands the human body. No one does. How's that? That's doctors. No one understands. And the body is staggeringly incomprehensible. There are 10 to the 27 power, think of 40 past the moon. So we got 10 to the 27th power of atoms in the body. It's in the body. 90% of them would turn over every year. You get rid of 90%. That's why I said every 7 years you get rid of everything, most of it. Each human body has 1 trillion trillion atoms. And the 1 trillion trillion atoms turn over and become new atoms every hour. Trillions every hour in your body. Now get that one. So far, we haven't got folding the paper. And we know. No, we're being removed. You can't even keep up with it. Did Columbus, when he crossed the ocean, did he know that about the body? Not that I know of. He didn't care how many atoms he had. Now, so therefore, 1 trillion atoms turn over and become new atoms every hour. We each have 60,000 miles of blood vessels. 60,000 miles in your body. Do you know how much 60,000 miles are? You can get all the way to China and back. 60,000 miles. And we have 10 million red blood cells every second. 10 million red, from your bones, red blood cells every second. And no one understands the body. We understand a little bit, that's all we do. What do we understand? The electronic world is feeding everything in, but you couldn't possibly keep up with it. It's beyond us. But we sit here now, and we're being taken. It's like if it's like being in a train or car or something, or like we're on planet Earth. We're being carried along. But we can eat and drink and go to school and work, and we do everything, and it doesn't seem to bother us. So we don't think about it. But it sure is happening. And you started out here on the train. You had enjoyed your wonderful car with everything and everything's in it that you want to have in your lifestyle. But the train is no more. The train is here, and then the train is there. Because it's moving fast, fast. The system is using it powerfully, powerfully. So, God, we need happiness. That's right. You need to be happy and have happiness. I want you to be happy in a very unhappy situation. So here we are. God, we're looking to you. And in the process, God's going to go in his wonderful grace and give us. And our old nature is going to be our old nature. And so we have to be careful that we sort of rationalize. We rationalize this and that about everything. We rationalize time, and we use time, clock, and everything. But we rationalize it, thinking this could happen, that could happen in the next minute. But we don't do that. Understandably, we couldn't live like that. We don't want to do that. So we don't think like that. We don't feel like that. And so here we are going, and our old nature, all of the facts, all of the speed, everything is all there, but we really can't come to grips with it, and the system is using it like nothing else, with Marxism and all of these things, and using it to control. God, what can we do? Well, look, the devil's going to use it. The system's going to use it. You can't tell the system not to use it. They are. And you know what? The bad guys, the gay and all those things, they're zealous and committed. Other people that want right and life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness to keep it going, what do? Oh, we just sit and we hear it and don't do anything. They're out there, 3% or whatever, rolling up their sleeves, doing aggressively, and they're winning because we don't do anything. And we've got to the point that we can't almost do anything. You can't fix it. They're in power. And when they're in power, the KGB and whatever one else, you may want to go against them, but they're going to get you. How do you fight the government army? How do you fight the government if you had to go to court? And you get $100 and they get endless printing press. They have no problem. How do you fight them? You don't. And when they're in power, and they are in power. Radical, I'm saying it because it's true. They got people up there in those different departments. I don't know where they found them. I do know where they found them. I do know where they found them. I don't know how they could ever do it. They got them. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, all of this is happening. And God, you're going to let it happen. But God, we need to be happy, not sad. We need to be able to travel through this. God, you want us to be happy, successful. God is successful, wonderfully successful. Over, if you would, please. Over in your Bible. I hope you got a little bit. I'm just trying to get you to see. It's overwhelming. And we sit there because we aren't, it's out here, but we're being carried with it, and you don't have any choice. You're being carried with it electronically, and you all got the gadgets, I'll bet you. You got the gadgets, and the gadgets are being used. And you use them, wonderful things, you look up and do everything, but you're using them. We use them, but everyone else is using them to use us, to keep us in a place where we can't interfere with what's happening. It has to happen. And I want you to understand that. God, it has to happen in a wonderful, awesome way for the next thing. Over, if you would, I'll do it. Isaiah chapter 24. And in Isaiah chapter 24, you will notice, please, verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. We aren't talking about a little city of Jerusalem or something. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. He maketh it waste, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. God's judgment. Now, sliding down to verse 4. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty, proud people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Because, why? Global warming? No. Green? No. You got rid of too many fish. No. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, and broken the everlasting covenant. They've broken. God said, I'd be merciful. And God put a rainbow up in the sky to remind you. And what do we do with the rainbow? They got a flag downtown there near the green. They got an American flag, and underneath it is this rainbow flag. I don't think it's from the rainbow of Genesis 9, though. I don't think so. The rainbow. The problem isn't global warming, it isn't too many cattle, it isn't anything. It's a pot problem. So don't get hung up with it. Years ago, I was on a plane with a young lady going somewhere, and the young lady was sitting next to me, and she said, isn't it awful what's happening with the global warming? And I said, well, what do you mean? She said, it's awful, boy. Sagan. What did I do with Sagan? Where are you? Carl Sagan, I did it somewhere. What did he say? Sagan. Anyway, Carl Sagan, he wrote the Cosmos, page 328. He said, if it keeps going the way it is, planet Earth is doomed. It's doomed. And the people are saying, we got 12 more years. Anyway. And the people are hung up, caught. Are they paying attention to what's happening? No, we're distracted all over the place from paying attention to what's happening. So therefore, God, it isn't going to be. Verse 6, therefore, hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. God's going to judge. He's going to judge the whole world. You know, Peter and all that. God's going to judge the world. That's what he's going to do. Why? Because they are. Over, if I can, chapter 28, I think. And you'll please note, skipping down, the light of Israel's problem, making a treaty with Assyria, making a treaty with the Antichrist, ultimately. Verse 22. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, don't make a joke about this, lest your bands be made strong, and you're already caught in bondage, and if you keep thinking the way you do, the bands are going to get tighter and tighter and tighter, and you aren't going to get them off. Verse 22. Now therefore, be not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God, what was that, Isaiah? A God of hosts, a consumption. And the word consumption means a destruction, destroying, consuming. I've heard of this consumption. Even determined upon the whole earth. God tells you what's going to happen. There's going to be. Now, it has to all work out. But we should be happy, be able to go through it. How so? Romans again. Over to Romans. Romans in chapter 8. In Romans in chapter 8, picking up, please. No, I'm going to go to Romans 12. Over to Romans chapter 12. God, what are we going to do? We need to know your wonderful will. And therefore, the book of Romans, remember you read Romans chapter 1, etc. There's none righteous, no, not one. So here, the conclusion. Conclusion, chapter 12, and in verse 36 of chapter 11, introducing it. For of him, he's the source. And through him, everything else is worked out. And to him, he's the object. To him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Verse chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, in the light of God's total control, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What for? So that you may prove, think. Don't get caught up in everything. Think. The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, there's your little word good, the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, the wonderful happiness. Happiness is the exercise and enjoyment of good. So God, what do we want? We need to know your will, the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's what we need. So we're trying to understand it with our mind. That's what we're thinking. If I don't think about things, I don't know them. How can I even discuss anything? I didn't even think of what's happening in the world. I don't know. What's happening over there? I don't know. That's no good. Therefore, chapter 8. And in chapter 8, what do you know? Verse 8. We know that all things, you know these, work together for a good. What have we just been looking at? Happiness is the exercise and enjoyment of good. Now God, everything isn't good. It doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. Everything, I'm just telling you, it's awful, awesome. But God, all of this that we're living in, this same with the declaration, same with in upper room, here we are, it's our turn. And we got it. God, what do you want? I want you to be happy. I want you to be able to proceed successfully. I want you to pursue happiness. I want you to be able to go down the corridor of time and make it. Therefore, again, all things work together for good. That's what they are. That's what they do. Now, God, we just read, reminded earlier, chapter 12, about the will of God to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, chapter 8, and in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, as we ought. Now, how would you pray? How do you want to pray in the light of this? For, but the Spirit itself maketh an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, God, what are you interested in? Verse 27, I should say. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. By the transforming of your mind, your thought process, you got to think different. Hang on. And he, verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Because he maketh intercession, he's talking about the outworking of God's will for the saints according to the will of God. What did you read? I want to know the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. I got to understand. Well, that's what God's going to do. Now, God wants that. God wants it. That's what he wants, and that's what you want. Looking to God, believers. And therefore, we know what? All things work together for a good. That's what you know. See? You can say the worst things you can dream of. But they're going to come out. It's going to come out for good. And you are what? To stay good. Happy. Stay happy. Trust me all the way. Now, one of the things I'll close with. One of the problems, I think, you have a Bible, I hope, in front of you somewhere. And in the process, if you have your Bible, and it's there, on your, what do you call this board, work board, the computer board, whatever you got, website board, people are using that. And where is the Bible then? The Bible's in the middle of this whole mess, isn't it? Because on that little sheet, you can open up everything in the world that's all faster and faster, more and more, and everything is there. And where is the Bible? Right in the middle of it. And you're trying to separate, and it's a habit. I know you say, I can do it. No, you can't. I'll bet you $1,000. You can't do it. You keep doing that, and you are never going to be able to get the Bible like you need to. It won't happen in this life. What you need, dear friend, let me do it another way. God's an awesome, here we are in his presence. Now, God, here's our president and all the different people all over the world, in Russia, China, they're all doing what they're doing without you. Now, is God caught up in the electronic world? To what measure is the electronic world controlling God? Facebook. Is God on Facebook? No. Is God on anything? No. You don't. God's holy, happy, separated. You don't touch God. That's what, think of, you just read it, 1 Peter 3:14. Sanctify, don't be blessed, be happy, Don't let fear and all the different things, terror and all these things disturb you. Be happy. How? Verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Set him apart. Don't fit him in the book. Keep your Bible separate. Your Bible is one thing. The system is another. Keep it separate. Don't let it, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to think the Bible. Well, I push a button and I can get the Bible. God bless you. There's nothing wrong with that. Make sure, though, you don't lose the Bible. It's separate in your lap. It isn't part of the system. You don't want it part of the system. You don't even want to think of it as part of the system. It's separate from the system. That's what keeps you strong. How are you ever going to stay happy? How are you going to stay in the will of God? You can't, because you're mixed up like everyone else is trying to. I read that in so-and-so page, and I push a button, another, I don't know, this little buttons and pictures, and you push the buttons and pictures, and something else comes up, and something else comes up about everything. How did you just lost what you were doing? You got switched just like that instantly, fast, and you lost it. It's the book. The book. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. God's Word. It's happening. And God wants you to be able to proceed with happiness. Holy happiness for good. God meant it for good. All things work together for good. That's what he wants. And all the things are going to happen, and they are happening. But I don't want to make believe they aren't happening because I don't feel it. I'm able to go and get everything, maybe for the moment. No, I want to see it. I want to see it, God, where it's going. And I know it's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful that gravity is here. Otherwise, we'd have one horrible problem. If gravity stops, true. So thank God for gravity. And you and I can relax. And you never have to worry about floating, okay? When you go to your car, you're apt to float right over it. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. You're not going to float. And if you are floating, something's drastically wrong. Understand? I would be terribly worried if you started floating. I wouldn't say it's wonderful. You aren't a bird. Birds can do it, but you aren't a bird. And I got to quit. I hope you got a little bit. It's an awesome thing. God wants you to be happy. That means to trust him. All things work together for good. Pursuit of good. Pursuit of happiness. Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace, and this little bit as we seek to try to come to grips with the awesomeness of the awesome world around us, overwhelming and becoming more and more overwhelming and used, misused to gain the ends and the agendas of that which is not good. But so be it, God. Your history, as history has to work out to honor you. According to your word, as you have said, when you started, you're going to finish. And the whole earth is going to be accounted, given an account. Everything on earth, about earth, is going to be accountable and answerable to you. So thank you. Help us understand. In Christ's name, amen.